Jeez. You know, where do we go to get ideas about friendships? What is our knowledge base? Where are the teaching centers? I think a lot of us, not a lot of us, just about all of us, don't have many core convictions about friendships, don't have any core practices, don't even understand the ins and outs of what makes a great friendship and how to choose the right friends, and therefore, we find ourselves in a really odd spot. And I'm excited about this series because, man, this piece, who is in your life makes or breaks you, and I'm pretty geeked about this. Let's pray before I go any further. God, thank you for the ability to talk about things that are important, things that are, gosh, I would say transcendent. It is. It's a transcendent thing to be a friend and to have a friend. Help me to communicate that clearly and helpfully today. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Ran across an article in the Huffington Post not too long ago. It says this: if books are enough, why would we need schools? If guns are enough, why have a military? Religious institutions mobilize us to create aid organizations, create development for those less fortunate, and create a sense of community. To know if you are living the right kind of life, a window where you can share your positions and practices in a group is, in many cases, a more effective tool than a mirror. Article titled, Why Don't We Go to Church Anymore? Yes, church attendance statistics are going down. There are a lot of different theories and a lot of actually good reasons for that. But one of the things that we miss, if we don't have environments like this, there's two things that churches can uniquely offer. One of them is a blessing to the localities in which we are, a blessing to our city. I got two big ideas for you today, two. One is this: I want you to sign up for Go Local. We don't want to just be a church. We want to be the church. We don't want to just be a bunch of people who gather together inside of buildings or streaming coffee shops or other people all over the place. We want to be a bunch of people who get in the streets, who get in people's backyards to clean, to help. That's why we're here. If we're just growing as a church, but we're not growing as a blessing to our neighborhoods, we're missing it totally, folks. We have worked our noogies off. We have gotten hundreds of projects, check. We found leaders to lead those projects and get the materials ahead of time, check. We put $800,000, close to $1 million into projects, into materials you don't have to pay for, check. We've gone for it. All we need is you. We need you. Signups close Wednesday. Here's what you do. You go to crossroads.net/go local and you'll find out what it is that you're gonna do or where it is. Where is that going to be? And then you're going to let us know who you are so we can follow up with you and engage you. It's very simple and it's incredibly, incredibly fulfilling. Actually, what might happen too is on your project, you could go with some friends. You might even find that there's some people there who become friends. This is the second thing I want us to do. I want us today to help ourselves get better with friends. How do we choose friends? How do we know what's a good friend? I mean, there's all kind of dating apps, right? Every kind of dating app known to man. I don't know of any friendship apps that help you understand who your friend could be, help you find a friend. A church is one of the places you can go where there's people who hopefully have a higher call in life. They've self-selected to come into an environment like this to try to understand God and grow. People who've self-selected into an environment like this are probably the kind of people that you would like to know. At least more so than maybe if you met a stranger at a bar or maybe you met a stranger at a football game or something like that. And I want to help you get the most out of understanding people who are around you. Now, doing this week, this whole week as I was preparing for this, I was kept thinking like, gosh, this seems really redundant. Didn't I just talk about this? And if you've been around for Crossroads for 10 years, you'll say, didn't I? Yeah, you heard me talk about this 10 years ago. This is something I touched on 10 years ago. I got fresh content for you today, but I touched on this 10 years ago. The reason why it feels like I just talked about this is because what I'm going to share with you is a template that's foundational to my life. I'm going to share with you today is a template that I think about, if not every day, every week. The reason why there's so many things in my life that I'm so thankful for is because God's doing a good thing in my life and I'm very, very thankful for him. He's doing an amazing thing in my life and he's choosing to use friends. The people around me are making and breaking my life, and right now they're making my life. And I have a template, a screen, a filter through which I understand people. It's crazy how many of us have values around money, or we have values around politics, or we have values around what kind of cars I like. We've researched and we have those things. But when you talk about, okay, friends, how do you choose your friends? Who are your friends? What are your friends supposed to do for you?
I don't know. I drink with some guys every once in a while. You know,
there's just not much depth there. There's not much thoughtfulness. And so I'm going to give you something that's helped me. And if it helps you, great. If it doesn't, find something that will help you. Because our friendships will make us and break us. Remember when we went to, well, at least in my cafeteria when I was growing up in junior high, they had this big thing on the wall. It said, you are what you eat. Anyone have those in our cafeteria? Am I the only one who had them? They still have those around? Do they even have cafeterias any longer? I don't know. Is anybody in here awake? Hello, wake up. I'm working my noogies off up here. Give me nothing. Nothing. You're what's called actually the very, very, you are. I'll tell you what you are just a moment. You're leading my very first person, okay? But we are what we eat, and we are who we spend time with. We are who we spend time with. And we have to understand who it is. Now, Jesus, why did Jesus have the most powerful movement ever, 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 ever? It was because the Holy Spirit came down and filled people, because the same Spirit that lived and enabled Jesus to actually come back from the grave, that Spirit is available to you when you receive Christ. The Holy Spirit enabled time to be dated after Jesus, hospitals to be started, healings to happen, orphanages, all things that we think are just things that nice people do. No, there are things that people did who were Jesus' friends when they left. And that's the second thing. It wasn't just the Holy Spirit, it was his friends. He had the right people in his life that enabled his life to have impact, and they kept it going when he was gone. There's four kind of people in your life. You need to know what these four people are, or your life is not gonna be what it can be. Number one, there are very, VDPs, I call them, VDPs, known as very draining people. Very, kind of like the way you've been the last several minutes, not giving me any encouragement up here. VDPs. Jesus had a VDP, his name was Judas. And he was, at one point, he was an energizing person because he invited him into his 12, but I believe towards the end, he just kind of was wearing people out. A very draining person is somebody who, when they're around you, your energy level just decreases. Your zest for life goes down. Your knowledge base never goes up around this person, unless it's your knowledge base about why the world is awful and why the world is wrong. VDPs always see things that are wrong. Jesus had a bunch of VDPs in his life. They were called the religious people. Religious people who were always looking for something that he was doing wrong. In the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 53, it says, as he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. These VDPs are pressing him. They're lying in wait. They're looking to go, aha, aha. I hear what you said. Ah, they're trying to get him in trouble. This is what VDPs do. In the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. VDPs are fools. They don't understand how to make life work. They don't understand how to make your life work. They don't understand how to encourage. They don't understand how to give life. And the more we have around our lives like that, the more our life is going to be frustrated. I know these folks as VDPs. You might know these people as Eeyores.
End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
Oh, sometimes VDPs are that way. They're just like, they're really like, they're always down. Now, all of us are gonna be down at some point. VDPs are always down. Maybe they're always down, or they could be a VDP because they gossip about people, and initially it's kind of interesting hearing somebody talk with somebody else, but then you find out, oh no, they're probably talking about me when I'm not around. VDPs are people who could be people who try to one-up you. You're like, oh my gosh, oh, this is a great vacation because we just did this. They go, oh man, you should hear about my vacation. They don't want to hear about yours. Here's you, me. They're constantly trying to up. It could be somebody who, there's a lot of reasons people are VDP. How do you know if someone's a VDP in your life? Each of these categories, I'm gonna give you five discernment questions. Here's the five for a VDP. Who slumps your shoulders when you see them? Like, it's just involuntary. You know what I mean? Whose call don't you want to answer? Like, you never answer this call when they call, because intuitively, you may not be saying, this is a very drained person. You just go like, I'll call them in a little bit. You're already recognizing you need to get your energy up before you call them back. You're not ready to, like, just take a call from them, right? Who sees the glass as half empty? Who enjoys giving bad news or being the devil's advocate? This isn't like healthily, I want to press your different points of view to help you understand. They just like being contrarians. I don't know why. Who always puts their own interests first? This is what a VDP does. VDPs are like Sears wet, dry shop vacs. They're around you. You can hear like a button going, and like that hose is coming to you. Just the energy getting sucked right out. They're sucking the knowledge out of sucking your life experiences, sucking your zest for Jesus. They're just sucking it out of you. And you might not even recognize it. You might not even recognize it because that might be all you have in your life. Seriously, here's a big idea for your day. Some of you think that you're introverts. You might be. Or it might be that you're just stupid people. Meaning, you might have never understood that maybe the reason you are an introvert is you've not been able to select the right people in your life and eliminate the wrong people. Every healthy body has healthy intake and healthy extraction. Healthy eating and healthy pooping. It goes both ways. Once it goes both ways like that, you can be healthy. You have to learn how to bring people into your life and then exit people from your lives. And some of us have never learned to exit somebody. People are with us simply by default. We don't know how to exit them out of our life. And so what do you want to be? You want to be an introvert or be without a VDP? I'll take introvert, please. Hear me very clearly. Introversion is a real thing. Awesome, awesome. I just interact with people who I'm not sure if it's introversion. I think it might be more needing of relational wisdom. VDPs are one of the people in our life. Second is very, very neutral people, VNPs. All of us at some point could be in one of these categories. By the way, sometimes you might be a VDP to somebody else, but I might find you're incredibly energizing. So some people just are VDPs, period, with everybody. Some people are VNPs, period, with everybody, but there's different people you got to learn to read in your own personal barometer. A very neutral person. This is someone who you don't mind being around. They're fine. They're good. You like seeing them at a party. It's good. It's great. They're not really sucking anything out of your life, but you also have to ask, are they adding anything to your life? And we need people who are adding something to our life. Jesus's VNPs, I think, are best seen as the crowds. The crowds. There are crowds everywhere. There's 144 times the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, the authorized biographies of Jesus. In those four books, 144 times the phrase crowd is used. Crowd, crowds. Here's an example of this. Matthew 8:18. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. See, a lot of us, we live for the crowds. Like, we want as many followers on Instagram as possible. We want as many people liking our thing as possible. Us pastor types, we want rooms as full as things as possible. If you're, you know, doing a business, you want as many people coming through and buying your thing as possible. We like going to concerts where there's a bunch of, a lot of us were energized by crowds, and I am too. I like crowds. Crowds are cool. There's a buzz. There's a thing that happens in crowds. It's really fine. But yet we see again and again, Jesus would go the opposite way the crowds were. Why would that be? Because he recognized that he could do his time in the crowd, but holistically a crowd was neutral. Holistically a crowd wasn't gonna push forward his life. It was gonna be the individuals he met and discipled and interacted with. So he'd be like, okay, enough of these folks. I might have given them something to elevate their game, but I got to go interact with some other people because these folks are very, very neutral for me. It's why he oftentimes shunned the crowds, where many of us were longing for the crowds, but the crowds aren't what make our life great. The crowds aren't what makes our life full. The crowds aren't what makes our life complete. If you don't believe me, I'll show you person after person after person who's had a lot of crowds around their thing, who has burned out, tanked their life, is just not in a good space. But we have very neutral people around us, maybe so we can determine whether or not they're supposed to be in our life to a greater degree going forward. Discernment questions for you to understand who is around you that might be neutral. One is this: who around me isn't affecting me? A very neutral person, they're not affecting you. So you want people around you who are going to affect, who around me just isn't affecting me at all? If they get transferred, that'd be kind of bad, bummer. They left, but they're not affecting me. Two, does the time on my calendar with this person match the output of my life? Three, who is in my life purely because of history? Like they came in at a critical point, but they're really not adding value right now. Four, who has a life that is at a standstill? Very neutral people oftentimes are same old, same old. Say, oh, you haven't changed a bit. I know, that's why they're kind of neutral. Because they haven't been changing, and so they have really nothing new to offer. There's no new experiences. There's no new insights that they have. There's no new conversations they can be a part of because their life is a standstill. Or five, who has a presence in my life but isn't a gift to my life? It's one thing to have a presence in my life. It's another thing to be a present to my life, to be a gift to my life. These are just some questions that would help you understand who's around you. Now, this conversation today goes both ways. It, one, when I look at this group of my life, it helps me understand where I'm spending time with relationships. I have a lot of time with people. So it helps me understand how am I being healthy and what's my relationship. So that's one. The second thing questions like this do for me is they say, how am I doing with other people? Because it is true, we need to evaluate and understand who's in our relational life, and it's also true, you need to be the best friend you can. Are we neutral to people who are around us? Are we neutral? It's like we're going, are we draining to people around us? We're like, oh my gosh, I better call Joe. Joe needs to be here for this. No, you need to be here for this. Because if Joe was here, he would say, oh my gosh, Pete's got to be here for this, because he'd say your name, whatever your name is. We should be asking ourselves, Am I adding value to people who are around me? Am I increasing their capacity for people who are around me? Jeff Bezos said this: I very frequently get the question, what's going to change in the next 10 years? And that's a very interesting question. It's a very common one. I almost never get the question, what's not going to change in the next 10 years? And I submit to you that second question is actually the more important of the two. What's not going to, I will tell you what is not going to change. What's not going to change are the friendships in your life are going to dictate the fruitfulness of your life. That is not going to change. The friendships in your life will dictate the joy of your life. That is not going to change. You are the sum average of the closest people to you. Whatever they are, you are. You're average of them. So if everyone drinks 5 beers every night, you're drinking 5 beers every night. If everybody around you is judgmental towards people of a different political party, then you're judgmental of people of different. If everybody around you works out, then you probably work out. If everyone around you doesn't work out, then you don't work out. If everybody around you're average. You are to all those folks. So this never changes. And so you have to ask yourself, do I like where my life is? Am I feeling full? Is someone pouring into me? Am I pouring into them? And friendships is always, always the key discipline to get your life going. It is. It just is. If I could, man, it's huge. I just wasn't planning on saying this, but like my kids, okay? When my kids were you know, young and they'd bring people over, I was always like watching, like, And there were some I was like, I'm gonna do whatever I can to make sure that person never comes around here, right? And then there was other ones, you're like, ooh. And be like, you'd be like, you're like bribing them to come over to the house, right? You're you're like, hey, they're coming over. Let's get some expensive steaks for them to eat. Let's take them to movies. Let's go. You're basically trying to buy your kids friends, right? You want them to have an amazing time around because you're trying to help your kids understand, hey, these people here, you want them in your life. And it's the same with all of us. This never changes. Your level of joy in life will be dictated by the people who are in your life. Your capacity in life will be dictated by the people in your life. All right, I'm starting to camp out too much. Let's keep going. Just ask ourselves, like, the amount of time that we spend on our academic schedule if we're in college, thinking through academic planning, the amount of time we spend planning about our finances, the amount of time we spend planning who we're going to end game with, you know, all these things. I bet for most of us, we haven't spent much time planning the most critical thing. Who is it that's going to have access to my mind and to my heart? Three. VEPs, these are very energizing people. Very energizing people. This is everybody who's in my group I meet with on Monday nights, a couples group, Liv and I get together. They all of them energize me. These are people that when you're around, like it's just a trickle charge, right? You kind of feel your spirits lifting. You feel yourself getting just a bit more powerful. They energize you. One of the guys in my Monday group, he's been around for, long time. I had the blessing of being able to lead him to Christ in a car. Jeez, a long time ago. He's become a really good friend of mine. His name is, on his birth certificate, his name is Michael. I don't call him Michael, I call him Mikey. Because I remember that old Life commercial, those of us who are over 50. He likes it. Hey, Mikey. You know, Mikey he's kind of got everybody energized. He likes it. Hey, Mikey. So Mikey, I also call him Sunshine because he's around, like, just things get warmer. It's like, whew, man, he brings the heat. He brings the UV rays, you know. He keeps you from being depressed. So someone had this photo of him at man camp. Look at everybody around Mikey. Look at all these people around. Look at all these sad sacks around Mikey. In a world full of pusses, sour pusses, be a Mikey. I love that. Mikey is a very energizing person. I'll give you another very energizing person. I don't know him. I've never met him. Would like to. Every day, it's about every day, part of my time with God as I go through Crossroads app. We just did a major upgrade. It is phenomenal. It is amazing. I'm telling you, I shudder to think where I would be with God had I had this in my life 20 years ago. It's really that good. So as I've been reading a verse and doing some other things, I have to pray. One of the ways I get to pray for people at Crossroads is who wants prayer in the app. And sometimes it just comes up. Okay, this person I'm praying for. So I got this prayer from this guy, Joel J. He's one of the guys I got to pray for this last week. And he said this, I lost my mom recently. Please pray that I can again trust God to be good instead of fearing that he doesn't really care for me. My heart goes out to Joel, prayed for him. And I'll tell you why this energized me. When there's like an anonymous prayer request from anonymous and like, you know, pray for my aunt who's sick, like that never energized me. I'm sure God loves your mom or God loves your aunt. Yes, and I'm sure somebody needs to pray for her, but like no specifics, never. But you put your face and your name and you say, you put your heart out there, says my mom died, and you go a veneer underneath and you say, this is actually causing me to doubt whether or not God is good and I don't like it, pray for me. Man, that level of vulnerability, it energizes me. Being an energizer doesn't mean that you're happy, clappy, joy all the time. It means that there's no hidden agenda. It means that you're operating on a different plane. And when that happens, it just brings energy to people around us. Discernment questions. Who enters the room immediately and makes you smile? They come in, it's like, it's awesome. Who, Kathy Beecham used to do this for me. She died a couple months ago. Anytime Kathy was in the room, she came in, I was like, hey, Kathy's here. Take your time. Don't leave for a while. Who makes you feel better about yourself? Hey, what's wrong with feeling better about yourself? Some people think that's wrong. That's great. You should feel good about yourself. Who would you want to vacation with? In fact, is there anybody you vacation with that you want to vacation with? Who is interested in talking about you? Who likes talking about you? Who knows how to be a blessing? Who knows how to give a gift? Who knows how to give the right word? Who just knows how to be a blessing? These questions will help you understand who it is that's a very energizing people to us, person to us, VEPs. The last one I'll talk about today is VIPs, very important people. Now, one of the very important people in my life was actually a guy, old guy. I might not even be alive right now. His name is Gordon MacDonald. I've interacted with him a bit. Actually, he wrote a book on these things that I read 30 years ago that I've adapted since that is affecting my life. He is a very important person to me. That's what VIPs are. VIPs are very important people. VIPs can be energizing. They're not always energizing. Okay, your 13-year-old might not always be energizing to you. Your 13-year-old might not be adding value to you, but you know the part of why you're on this planet today is because of that 13-year-old. Your college professor is a very important person. Might not energize you, might not, but what they have to say, what they're doing, you make time for what they have to say. Very important people. Jesus had people who were very important and energizing. I'm just going to kind of use the same person for both of these categories. I believe Peter, James, and John actually were energizing people for Jesus. They were three people he took away oftentimes by just them. He pulled them away from the other 12. Maybe their 12 were a bit neutral, and he took Peter, James, and John away to give them a lot of access to him that the others didn't have. Maybe it's because those three made a unique deposit in his life that the other nine didn't. We don't know. Just my opinion. They were very, I believe, energizing to him. And one person who was incredibly, incredibly important to him was named Peter. Actually, he was born with the name Simon, and Jesus gives him a new name. He gives him the name Peter. Here's what it says in the book of Matthew 16. After Peter's the first person who actually says, I say you're the Messiah. He's the very first person. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. Change his name from Simon to Peter. Means rock. That's what it means, rock in that language. Rock, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, who wouldn't like to be just called rock by Jesus? What's your name? Son of God calls me Rock. That's all I know. What's your name? I don't know. Ted. I'm Rock. Rock. He says, man, you are so important. You and your testimony are going to be foundational. You're important to the future movement of all that takes place in the future. What's a discernment for understanding who your important people are? One, who are the people in your life that without them, you would not be where you are? Who are those people? One of my very important people for me, they're energizing too, but I put them in the VIP camp. Brian and Nancy Wells, Jim and Vivian Bechtold, Tom and Nancy Shepherd, they were Crossroads before I came around. And like every time anything is good happened in my life, Liv and I are like, man, wouldn't have been those people. Wouldn't have been those people. Like, I have no idea where I'd be, where we were going. Like, those couples can ask us anything and it's going to be done. Just anything done because they are very important. Who is sacrificed for you to make sure you were taken care of? Who do you feel a holistic responsibility before God for? Like, God, I think put this person in my life. Who do you turn to that always has the right counsel for you? And who is going to extend your influence? Now, VIPs aren't perfect people, but they're just people you know they need to be in your life. Peter wasn't a perfect person. Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to be going and laying down his life for them, and they're like, Peter's like, dude, not a good idea. Here's what he says. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter's rebuking Jesus. Yeah, they had a friendship. I don't know I'd have the guts to rebuke Jesus, but he's rebuking Jesus. He says, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Can you see the friendship here? This isn't just a high holy teacher coming down. There's a friendship here. Peter's just been called rock. And then Jesus goes, oh, you don't like what I'm saying about my future mission? Let me give you a new nickname. Who we be, who you'll be? Satan? Yes, that's you. So this doesn't mean that someone is always in that category. Friends, you just have to know who it is in your life, where they are, what impact they're having on you. You'd never walk into a building that was filled with lead paint and just think I'm gonna stay in there forever. You'd wanna know, is there lead paint in here? You just have to know who is it in your life and what impact are they having on you? And you have to ask yourself, is this what I want for my future? And then you've gotta figure out, take control of your life. This is a people skill. This is a skill very few people have. But if you figure out this skill and take these things, your life will go in the future. So you might not have written down all those questions. I'm going to post all those questions on my social media feeds this week. And if you want to look at those and revisit those, you can certainly do that at that point. Now, what we're going to do for the rest of our time is we're going to practice. Yeah, we're going to practice. Yeah, fun. Enough talking about stuff. We're going to actually practice. I'm going to bring out a person, I would say friend of mine. We know each other. I have a nickname for him. His name is Chris Bostick. Bring on out, Chris. Come on, Chris. I would say friend. We don't really spend a lot of time together. You may know him as our drummer here. Chris, come on out here if you would. And Chris and I are going to come out, and we're going to actually do what's known as a chaser group. You can go in the Crossroads app and you can find a chaser questions for every weekend service and the newly added content, or you can go crossroads.net/chaser and just starter questions to talk to people and understand them. Chris is also known as Smiling and Smacking, because when you ever see him play the drums, that's what he's doing, smiling and smacking. Show us that smiling and smacking. Yeah, that's right. So we're gonna do a chaser question, and we don't really hang out too much together here when we're on stage, but we're going to get somebody else who we don't know at all. And I've already pre-selected you. I've been watching over you in this place. This could be you, sir, in the red shirt. Come on up here. Come on up. I figured somebody in the front row probably has got a little bit of extroversion in him. Come on, sit down. What's your name?
Tanner.
Tanner, okay. All right, so here's how we're just going to do one question. We're all going to talk about it. Here's the question we're going to do. This is going to be one of our chaser questions this week. Of all the people who have been in your life, who is no longer in your friendship circle and you wish they were, and why? Of all the people you have in your life, who is no longer in your friendship circle and you wish they were, and why? I'll go first, because I created this question. So I've thought about it for a little bit. I would say that person would be Gil Hopkins. He's dead now. That's why he's not in my friendship circle. He got out of line and I had to knock him off, but I really regret that. He is dead now. He's dead of old age. He would get that joke. He would laugh his butt off if you heard that. When I moved to Cincinnati, I got together with him, and I didn't know it. As I was meeting with him, trying to gather him to Crossroads, be part of the core, he had led to Christ the person who had led me to Christ. And for the rest of my time here at Crossroads, while he was here, he was just a... I called him my mighty man. He always had the right word for me. He never judged me. He always believed that huge things could happen in my life. And he just did. And so when he died, there was a void that was still fresh. And that was, a long time ago. So yeah, he was a VIP and VAP. VIP and VEP, Gil Hopkins. Chris?
Well, Tanner, you're a little freaky up here. Just stay there and get ready. Okay, Chris.
For myself, I would say someone that I'm no longer in touch with would be a person named Steve Gray. He was like the first mentor I had. So he was older than me. He drummed at the church I grew up in. And he had been through a lot of stuff in his life. And he just would share his story and how he came to know Christ, and he was just unashamed with wanting me to know, like, hey, these are things that I did, mistakes I made, and I wouldn't want you to make those same things. And, like, I credit a lot of my early, like, maturity to him, and the trajectory of my life definitely wouldn't be the same if I didn't have him in my life at that young age.
What's your favorite memory with him?
Oh, man. So he was a huge Rush fan, and they were playing in Noblesville, Indiana. And we took a road trip. I wasn't even driving yet. So he drove, and he was a fast driver. So we were, like, going through Indiana, like, 90 miles an hour. My mom knew that, she probably never let me go with him. But we went there, went to the concert, and we just talked the whole ride there and came back, and it was just it was a great experience.
Oh, that's cool. Tanner, how about you?
I'm up now.
You're up now, yeah. Tanner, yes.
All right. I think the one guy that I met, so I lived out in Seattle a couple times. I interned out there, and it was a city I didn't know.
Where'd you intern?
Amazon.
Cool.
Yeah. So I interned out there. Didn't know anyone. That was my first internship. But his name, I met him. He went to Penn State. I went to Ohio State. We met out there. Go Big Ten. Malik Alarbi. And I didn't know anyone out there. And I was very scared about who I was going to be hanging out with. And first real job. And he was probably the realest person I've ever met. Encouraged me to be me without really saying that, I guess. I got to hang out with him, really enjoyed, being with him, but he's still out there, and now I'm back where I grew up, basically the Midwest area, so that's why he's really not in my friend group as much anymore, but we try to, FaceTime as much as we can, but yeah, that'd be
cool.
Who it is. Yeah.
Awesome. That's pretty easy. That was a pretty good group right there. Yeah, that's great. So now is where there is a fork in the road, and you can go either way. We've got 5 minutes left, with our time together today. So we're going to allow you to answer that exact same question with 3 to 4 people around you. If you don't want to do this, that's okay. We don't do this that often because it can be free. If you don't want to do that, that's okay. You can leave now. You just might find there's some really cool people around you. You might there might be some draining people around you as well, but it's only going to be 5 minutes and it's going to be done, okay? So we're going to give you, and I'm going to have closing words. We're going to have 5 minutes to do that exact same thing. Circle up with someone. If you don't want to do this, no worries, or you can't do this, no worries. Just go ahead and take off. But right now, let's try it. People skills, lab experiment 1, go.